Today I'd like to visit with you about the gospel. My name is Alan Morse. I live in Perry, Kansas. I'm a 70-year-old man that has been saved by the gospel, and my life has totally changed around. It's made everything a difference in the world for me when I truly believed the gospel. I learned the gospel from a man by the name of Les Feldick. And Les showed me, you know, without any questions whatsoever, my salvation was totally based on believing the gospel. And in doing so, I decided to spend the rest of my life telling and teaching and preaching the gospel so that people can understand. Before we start, I'd like for us to realize that I want you to, it's going to be a teaching situation where I want you to open your Bibles and I want you to follow me along, because when we get done, I won't want you to say, Al told you this. I want you to say, I got it from the book. And that's the most important thing. But the thing I want to start off with now is I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts. Acts chapter 16. Now you've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you have Acts. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to turn, we're going to be looking at verse 14. But let's go first. I'll give you an idea of what's going on. Paul is in Philippi, and he was walking down along a riverbank, and he saw a group of women out there, and they were having kind of a Bible study. And he walked up to those people, and we'll start with 14. And he said, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And this is my prayer for you today, is that the Lord would open your heart so that you would attend to the things that are spoken by Paul. Because that's the only thing that I'm going to teach, is what Paul's teaching. Because Paul has the Holy Spirit, and it's Jesus teaching through Paul. So this is God's word that we're listening to. But my prayer for you is that God will open your heart so you understand what we're talking about. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Now write these down in your book, in your Bible. Write them down. There's pages in front of your Bible that's blank. Write it down. Write Acts 16:14. And now right below that, 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we're going to go. We've got Acts and Romans. And then you've got 1 Corinthians. Turn to the right on your Bible. And you turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15. This verse here that we're going to be dealing with is the most important verse in the Bible, bar none, for us in this day of age that we live in as the body of Christ. This is the most important verse that we have. So now, I'd like you to understand that these are letters. These books were not books, they're letters. These are letters. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, who has already been grounded by the gospel. He has already preached the gospel to them, and they all believe the gospel for their salvation. And these letters are all they are for them, is to teach them how to live after they believe the gospel, after they're saved. It says, we'll start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which also you stand. This is what is tremendously important. Now listen, they have received the gospel, and they stand on that gospel. And then it says in verse 2, by which you are saved. Isn't that what we want? And this is why we go to church. Isn't this why we pray and study the Bible? We're wanting to know we're saved. And this is how we are saved. This is how we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we die, we're going directly to be with the Lord, not going to hell. He says, however, there's a but. It says, if you keep this in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You see, this isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You see, for years and years, I always believed that Jesus died on the cross and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. But you see, I didn't believe it for my salvation. My pastor told me my salvation is based in putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, that's not the gospel, and I'll show you. He says, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. You see, that's why we're not believing in Jesus, the man. We're believing what he did for us. Because what he did for us is what saved us. Because, see, if he hadn't died for our sins, we'd still be in our sins. And we would have no way to get out of them. And we would never go to heaven. Because no sin will ever go to heaven. And our sins, there's nothing we can do to pay for them. The only one that can was Christ. And so that's why we're trusting in what he did and not who he is. Obviously, when you believe the gospel, who he is, it goes 1,000 times more. But realizing that our trust for our salvation had to be what he did. Because if he didn't do it, we'd still be in our sins. You see, that's why it's so important to believe God when he tells us to believe the gospel. And it's because it's his death on the cross had paid for our sins. Now, what happens afterwards? Where we stand now? Well, let's turn to the second most important verse in the Scriptures. And we're going back to Ephesians, or going forward to Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians. We go to 2 Corinthians. We go to Galatians. And then we go to Ephesians. We're going to the right. 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Write this number down, verse down. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12. Ephesians 13 is the one I want to read, but I've got to start with 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? The gospel. We just read the gospel. That's the word of truth. And it's of your salvation. There it is. Your salvation is the gospel. After you believe the gospel, in whom after you believed. You see, you have to believe the gospel for your salvation. And when you do that, it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's just beyond your imagination. The second you believe the gospel, you get the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is what most of the Christianity has no idea what it is. Because most of the Christianity do not believe the gospel for their salvation. And that's why that the churches around here, they may have 500 people on their roll, but only 75 show up to church. Because you see, they haven't believed the gospel. They just believed in Jesus. But you see, they don't get the Holy Spirit unless they believe the gospel. And when they believe the gospel, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's powerful. You see, they're walking around there not understanding the word. They know they're supposed to read it. They try to read it. They can't understand it. And pretty soon they forget it. They come to church because they think they should. They sit there and they don't hear a word he's saying. Their mind is everywhere else. He tells you, the pastor says you need to study the word every day. And you try it for a while, and it lasts for about 15 minutes. And when you read it for 15 minutes, you don't have an idea. You see, they can't help it. It's not their fault. They don't have the gospel of Christ, and thus they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, it's just fantastic that we get the Holy Spirit. when you believe the gospel. It just changes your whole life because he's walking with you every day. Now, let's take and turn to Romans. We're going to see what that Holy Spirit is in us. We go back to the left, Corinthians, first, second, then 1 Corinthians, and then we're back to Romans again. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look and write this down now. Write it down in the front of your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He hath raised up Christ from the dead also, giving life to you and your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." What is He saying there? He's saying that the same Spirit that you're sealed with, I mean, it's sealed. You're saved when you believe the gospel. That same Spirit that you're sealed with is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also is in you and will raise your mortal bodies from the dead also. What a fantastic thing. I mean, it's beyond our imagination. We don't have to fear death. We know as Christ has rose from the dead, we also will. We know that if we die, our soul and spirit now, because God has paid for our sins, they'll go directly to heaven. Directly to heaven. We have no fear of death ever again, because we know we'll never die. Never. Never die. Now, let's look what happens. Look what happens next. Let's go to verse 16. Write it down. Chapter 8, verse 16. It said, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus." Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Think about that. That's beyond your imagination. But you see, most of the Christendom don't have a clue who Jesus really is. They don't have a clue. And let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. So we're going to turn, write that down. Colossians chapter 1, 15. And then we're going to turn to the right. We go Romans. We're going to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and now we're at Colossians. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15. And we're seeing, we're going to find out who Christ really is. And most people have never seen this. It says, who is, we're talking about Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him, Jesus, were all things created. He's the Creator God, Jesus was, that are in heaven, and that it was in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Think about that. All things are created by Him and for Him. And He, the Creator of this universe, is the same person who came down to pay for our sins. The Creator, who died for our sins and He was buried and rose from the dead. That was Jesus Christ who did that. Think about that. Now we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? That means what is His is ours. Do we have a future as believers in the gospel? It's beyond our imagination. A person can say, "Well, I'll give you $1 billion if you will not believe the gospel for your salvation." I'd look at him, I said, "That isn't a dirty penny compared to what God has in store for me." I mean, He owns the whole world. And the whole universe is His. That's how important the gospel is. We become co-heirs with Christ. Now let's turn to a verse that I just think is neat as can be. Let's turn back to Romans. We're going to go to Romans 1:16. Write it down in the front of your Bibles. Romans 1:16. We go back to Ephesians, we go back to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and then we're back to Romans again, going to the left in your Bibles. And we're going to go to chapter 1. And we're going to go to chapter 1 and we're going to look at verse 16. This is one Bible verse you need to memorize. This is neat. It says, Paul is saying this. He's preached the gospel his whole life. It's all he's preached since he came back from the Lord who gave this to him. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what is it? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There we go, salvation again. To everyone that believeth. Think about that. Believeth what? The gospel. Let's do it again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's just fantastic that it didn't, we got to say what it didn't say. It didn't say, for those who believeth and are baptized. No, it didn't say that, did it? To those who believeth and accept Christ as his Savior. It didn't say that. It didn't say, those that believeth and join the church. It didn't say that. It said, those who believeth the gospel. That's all we have to do for salvation, is believe the gospel. And immediately, if we truly believe it for our salvation, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just hard to even comprehend. Not only are we filled with the Holy Spirit, we also become a part of the body of Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ. It's just beyond our imagination, and that body of Christ is the church that we really want to belong to. When people ask me what church do I belong to, it's always to the body of Christ. Because that's the only church that God is going to deal with and take out of here. And then take us home to be with Him. And then He's going to deal with the rest of the world of unbelievers during the tribulation. We want to be in the body of Christ. Now let's turn to write this down, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 9. We're going to turn back to the right. We're going to go through Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians. And we're going to look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. And we're going to... No, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3. I wrote that thing down wrong. Verses 3. I'm sorry about that. Verses 3. It says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. This is probably the reason, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the reason why that the churches today aren't believing in the gospel for salvation. Because they were blinded by the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. He doesn't care how often you go to church or where you go to church, as long as they don't preach the gospel. When they preach the gospel, he's lost you. But as long as they preach anything but the gospel, you're His, and He knows it. Because He's the one that's blinded. These pastors, there's thousands of pastors are preaching salvation based on belief in Jesus. And that's not the gospel. And there's no salvation in that whatsoever. We've already saw that. It's believing the gospel is salvation. And He's blinded the people, the pastors, and all the people. He says, at least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. That is totally, totally the reason why that I didn't understand the gospel. You see, when I saw the gospel, in 1 Corinthians 15, I had never seen it before. I'm a marker. I mark the book all up, like I said before, probably. But I mark it all up. But when I saw the gospel there, there wasn't a mark on it. I was totally blinded most of my life to the gospel for my salvation. My pastor is totally blinded. I talked to him about it, and he's still totally blinded. He's totally blinded by the Satan, and he's the one that controls this world. Not only us, but also the churches. The one verse that really was a verse that really, really convicted me was, we're going to turn now to Romans chapter 2, verses 16. We're going to go back to the left. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. I would say that the majority of the pastors in this country, in the United States or in the world, that are pastors as Christian churches, supposedly, never saw this. They never saw it. Because they've been blinded by Satan. But this is what it says. We want to make sure you're at Romans chapter 2, verses 16. Write that down. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. When is that going to be? When is He going to judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ? That's at the great white throne judgment. You see, we that believe the gospel, we're never going to be judged by our secrets or our sins in our life. Because they're paid for. That's how why we're saved. Because Jesus died for our sins. He's paid for every sin that we've ever committed or will commit. Totally paid for. So we can stand before God and we're perfect, sin-free, because we believe the gospel. But these people didn't believe the gospel. And they're standing there. These are the people... all the unbelievers from Adam all the way, from Adam's time, all the way to the last person on this earth, the unbelievers of this world. And they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment, and that'll be after the time when God comes back during the millennium. After the millennium, you'll see the great white throne judgment in your scriptures. And they will be, each one of them, will be judged, and they're going to be judged by Christ, and look what it says, according to Paul's gospel. If you're a preacher out there today, and you're preaching anything other than Paul's gospel for salvation, you're going to be standing in that line, waiting for your judgment, and that line is there's no place to go but the lake of fire. I had a revelation of that. I saw myself as like a nightmare. I was standing in this line, a huge line as far as a man could see. I was standing there. I was the first person in it. And I was looking up at the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was standing, sitting in judgment on me, the great white throne. And I looked behind me, and there was my wife. And behind him was my two sons. And with them their wives and their children, my grandchildren. And everybody that I walked with my whole life. I was bad. And they looked at me and they said, Al, why are we here? I still can hear it in my ears. Al, why are we here? I was trembling. I was scared. I felt horrible. And I looked up at Christ, and I couldn't even answer them. And He said, Unbelief. Unbelief. That's why you're at the great white throne judgment. For unbelief. And I said to Jesus, well, I've always believed in you. I took you as my Savior for my salvation. And then he rolls down this gospel. Here it was. It came down on a scroll. Huge. It said, Gospel of Jesus Christ. He rolled it down and it said, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and rose from the dead. And he said, did you believe that for your salvation now? I knew I didn't. So I said, well, I've always believed it. No, for your salvation. And I didn't. See, I didn't. And he looked over there and he opened up the book. And he said, your name is not in the book. I don't know you. I don't know you. And I woke up and I was in a sweat. It was horrible. And I don't want anybody here that hearing my voice ever have to go through that. Because the reason why they were judged and their people were going to a lake of fire for eternity is because they didn't believe the gospel. It says it right here. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. If there's any reason in your whole life that you should believe the gospel, if this don't wake you up, I don't know what will. I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that my salvation is based truly on the gospel. And I was saved because I believe that. And let me tell you about salvation. You know, there was nothing in here as far as being saved except truly believing it. And so, you know what I did when I saw this in the Bible and I really understood it and I believed it? I went by myself, and this is what I would like for you to do. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to shake hands with anybody. You don't, for God forbid, you don't have to be baptized. All you've got to do is believe the gospel for your salvation. And what you need to do is you need to get by yourself where nobody else is around, where you can talk out loud and tell the Lord, Lord, I heard the gospel. I heard the gospel that Paul preached, and I believe it. You're saying this out loud. I believe it with all my heart. And then you're saying this out loud, and you're saying, I believe, Lord, that you died for my sins and that you were buried, and I believe that you rose from the dead for my salvation. And if you truly believe that when you're talking to God, the Holy Spirit will come on to you, and you'll never be the same person again. You will be saved. You will be sealed. Nothing could ever take you out of God's hands. You will be sealed forever until you die. And then you will be with the Lord. Totally, 100% safe. You're sealed. And the Holy Spirit will guide you the rest of your life, no matter what problems you're in. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you have problems with alcohol. I don't care if you have pornography problems. I don't care if you are somebody that's a thief or somebody that's even a murderer. It don't make any difference. If you believe the gospel, you're going to be saved, and God's going to take you away from those things and point you to Jesus. And you'll be able to take these numbers that I've written down here, and you'll be able to show them to people the importance of believing the gospel for salvation. And you won't have to worry about remembering my name. All you'll have to remember is, I got it from the Word of God. I got it from the Word of God. And that's my prayer, my total prayer for you, is that you would believe the gospel. And now let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you have opened the minds of each and every one of these people here to believe the gospel. And I pray that the second they believe that gospel, they will see that wonderful Holy Spirit that you will give to them. And they'll walk out of this place knowing full well that they're going to be saved. All they have to do is believe the gospel. I ask you to walk with each and every one of these people and be with them and strengthen them and guide and direct them the rest of their lives. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.